Hello and welcome to Unlapped. Katie George, Lawrence Edmondson, Spencer Hall, Nate Saunders, all in the flesh together here in Miami getting ready for the sixth race of the F1 calendar. I'm so excited to be with you guys. Thank you for looking over at me and reciprocating that excitement. The two of them are just staring off into the ground.
Hey,
I don't know. Thank you. I'm glad to hear it last.
So thrilled.
We've got so much in store for you this week, not just with Unlapped. We've got a pre-race show, 3 to 4 Eastern on the ESPN app and YouTube ahead of the Miami Grand Prix. And then we will be back breaking everything down that transpires post-race on the ESPN app and YouTube as well. So make sure you catch us there. All right. Some breaking news, gentlemen, that I think we need to get to. Laz, I'm going to start with you. Adrian Newey, who I would say is critical, crucial, pivotal, the mastermind behind some of the dynasties that we've seen from this Red Bull team over the last two decades. He is going to leave the team. What did you make of the decision? Why now, all of a sudden?
Well, this has been rumbling away for a little while. It's been clear that Adrian has been thinking about his future. Obviously, we know at Red Bull, I mean, it's basically all we've talked about this year is the turmoil off track. Of course, they've been very successful on track, but clearly right now it's not a team that he wants to be a part of going forward. He had a contract that ended at the end of 2025, and they're going to let him go in basically the second quarter of next year. That should leave a possibility for him to go somewhere else and have an influence on 2026, probably not as much as he would have liked. But of course, the fact that he was contracted to 2025 then would have had a 12-month gardening leave clause, which meant that he probably wasn't going to go anywhere till 27. So that is kind of, you know, the negotiation that's been going on behind the scenes. And now they're ready to present it to the F1 world. And everyone's gone crazy and everyone wants his signature on a piece of paper to bring him to their team. So, it's certainly exciting from a competitive point of view.
Yeah, Aston Martin, Ferrari, certainly some names that I think would be vying to bring Adrian Newey into the fold. I want to just hit the press release. His quote was, "For almost two decades, it has been my great honor to have played a key role in Red Bull Racing's progress from upstart newcomer to multiple title winning team. However, I feel now is an opportune moment to hand that baton over to others and to seek new challenges for myself. In the interim, the final stages of development of RB17 are upon us. So for the remainder of my time with the team, my focus will lie there." Surprised, yes or no?
Up until last week, yes, I would have been, but we've had this kind of slow announcement this week. It's like leaked out into the press. But certainly if you'd gone back a week, 2 weeks, even to the start of the season, and you said Adrian Newey is going to be leaving Red Bull, Max Verstappen we're still not sure is going to be there, all of this that's happening at Red Bull right now is surprising. So, yeah, it's a huge step. And I think more than anything, Adrian Newey, I remember growing up as a fan, Adrian Newey was still revered as this great designer. But for so many fans, he is synonymous with that Red Bull team. You know, even though he has stepped back over the last few years, it's so difficult to picture Red Bull. It's actually probably harder to imagine Red Bull without Newey and Verstappen than it is without Horner in a way. I know Horner's been there for a long time, but so much credit goes to those two other guys. So I think it's going to be huge. And I think that the big question now is, what does it mean for Red Bull going forward? What does it mean for Verstappen going forward? We know he's kind of been looking at other options and stuff. But yeah, surprise is a good word for it. And I think that... it's a bit like the Lewis news, isn't it? It's Lewis going to Ferrari. Until that happened, it didn't really feel like it was ever going to be something that happened, him going to Ferrari. And now, I'll throw this to Spencer if you want, but that's one of the tantalizing options now on the table, which is great.
Yeah, and before we get to the options, I do want to note, it's amazing how Red Bull screwed this up. Like, it is amazing a difference one billionaire makes, because after the death of Dietrich Mateschitz, who evidently was the only thing keeping this all together with the force of his galvanizing personality and endless wallet.
Yeah.
Once he was gone, the chemistry that kept that team in place, that made everything so dominant and that commitment, just slowly began to flake apart. And it's when you talk about the time frames for when you would see an Adrian Newey make an effect, right? When you would see him show up in the specs and influence the team's performance. Dietrich Mateschitz's death, it happened quite a while ago, but the effects are just continuing to chip away. That is amazing to me that you have the best setup in 21st century racing, right? A combination of engineer, driver, and managerial class at the team. And one guy goes, and suddenly everyone's freelancing.
Yeah, and on that, that's spot on, and I think you see it with a lot of dynasties. Look at the Bulls when you look at the last dance. A lot of what starts to chip away at those dynasties, same with the Patriots, is who takes the credit for what's happened.
Sure.
And since Mateschitz has gone, there's clearly internally been a struggle there of who deserves the credit. I think one thing that we've heard behind the scenes that Nui's been upset about has been the fact that, you know, when Christian Horner talks about the team, he talks about Pierre Wash now, who's, I think he's technical director, is that his role? And Nui often kind of gets, not brushed aside, but they will talk about other people in that team. And I think for Nui, that is infuriating because he looks at that and says, well, I'm the guy leading this dominant era that we've got here. And Horner, when everything that was going on with him earlier in the year when they had that launch, he said, I built this team. That was his defiant statement. And that couldn't have been something that went down with Nui. So, yeah, I think to that point, I think Mateschitz was kind of this great kind of leveler at the top. You have all these egos. You've got Helmut Marko, who we haven't mentioned yet, but he's in there as well. You've got the Verstappens. When Mateschitz was there, he could manage all of that. And I think it is interesting that that's gone now. And slowly, I mean, that was only a year and a half ago, wasn't it, that Mateschitz passed away. And all of this has unraveled since then. So, yeah, I think that's a really spot-on point from Spencer.
Just to point out, Nui's responsible for 6 Constructors' Championships and 7 Drivers' Championships in his time with Red Bull. I don't want to be melodramatic here, but this departure, when it happens, do you feel like this could be the beginning of the end for Red Bull in terms of their reign of dominance? I mean, I know Max Verstappen is by far the best driver on the grid at this point in time, but that also is in part, some in part, because of the car that Red Bull has been able to build and consistently provide him over time.
Oh, absolutely. And there's now questions about whether, I mean, there were questions anyway about whether Max Verstappen was going to continue there. But those questions go so much deeper now. And one thing that Max has said throughout these questions that we've thrown at him about his future, because he's never been absolute about what he's going to do. And one of the things is that he wants the senior people to remain in place. Now, the most senior person on the technical side is leaving. And depends who you talk to. Like, to Nate's point, some people say that, you know, he wasn't involved day to day, he only did X amount of days anyway. He's working on RB17, as you mentioned, which is actually a track car, you know, that's been developed for customers, and that's what his focus is going to be on until he leaves. So there's all these questions about how much influence he has, but some of the just the key understandings of the car, of what makes it fast, you know, that seemed to come from Nui at the start of this regulation set. So when we look at this period of dominance they have, it does seem to germinate from ideas that he had. Now, he didn't oversee every single designed part from that point onwards, but the general direction he oversaw. And that's where he is so useful. And, you know, we have this regulation set that will go until the end of 2025. In 2026, a new one comes in. It will still use ground effect aerodynamics, which Red Bull won't unlearn, or Nui won't take their knowledge away from the team entirely. Mm-hmm. But there will be new things to learn. And I think whoever has him going into that next set of regulations is going to have someone who has a proven track record of just getting it right.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, speaking of who will have him, because it's not like he's retiring and he's sailing off into the sunset. He's going to go work for somebody else. He has said in the past that 2 of his unchecked career boxes are working with Ferrari and with Lewis Hamilton. So the natural kind of progression you would think would be that there would be a happy marriage there, or future for the two of them in a partnership. Do you foresee, Nate, that being the most natural landing spot for Nui?
Yeah, I think from a fan point of view, yes. And from a journalistic point of view, yes as well. I think nothing else really makes sense. I've been Alonso was another guy he mentioned. So Aston Martin, who we believe have made a bid as well, and we know they have money, is in there as well. But I think Ferrari, if you line everything up, everything there is now checked. One of the things that I think Nui's been approached 3 times by Ferrari in his career. One of the key things he always said was he didn't want to move to Italy. You know, at the time he had young kids, didn't want to move away from the UK. His kids are grown up now. You know, they're all, you know, old, I think same age as all of us. So that's less of a pull now for him. And you add in the Lewis factor. You add in the fact that this literally is it for Adrian Newey now. It's not like he can just be like, I'll go to another team, then maybe do Ferrari. It's now or never for him. You've got to feel like the pull of that. And we were talking over lunch just now, Lawrence and I, like, I think it's the same with Lewis. You've got nothing to lose going there. You know, if you're not going to win another championship in Formula One, you might as well go and do that at Ferrari. You know, because if you don't do it, people will... I don't think it will be on Lewis or on Adrian. It will almost enter into this weird mythical thing around Ferrari. Like, well, Ferrari just can't win. It's almost like you're blameless in that situation. You wouldn't be blameless, but, like, it adds into that meme of, like, well, Ferrari, there's something cursed at Ferrari. And on the flip side of that, if you can win... I think that's legendary status we haven't had in Formula One. You know, if you can build Lewis Hamilton or Charles Leclerc, but I think it would more likely be Lewis, his eighth championship winning car, Ferrari's first one since 2008. I mean, Newey's already a legend in Formula One, but that would just be a tier we haven't seen before.
Do you feel like this is somewhat similar to Brady and Belichick of they both kind of had this internal struggle of, no, we won all those championship Super Bowls because of me? And then they both separated and parted ways. And it was like, okay, well, who's actually going to win one now? And Tom Brady went and did it with the Buccaneers, by the way.
Come on, I was about to say.
Nate's favorite team. Do you feel like maybe there's some kind of internal struggle or pride that Newey says, I want to go prove that I can do it elsewhere with a different team and it's not just at Red Bull that this can be done?
Well, every bank account above X, above a certain number, fails to take care of feelings. Right? Like, money can get you here, but at the end, once everyone's rich and successful, then it becomes a matter of pride and ego. And I think there's a lot of that going on here because everyone's got the second and third house. Everyone's got everything taken care of. Now it's just a matter of fighting over the credit. And it is fascinating to me that we have so many old guys who still feel driven at this point. Like, going back to Red Bull, Helmut Marko is still a factor in this. Helmut Marko, was alive not only before the internet, but before digital telephony, right? Like, it is astonishing how many people still feel the need to prove something and or cling to power in this case. You mentioned Brady. It's hilarious to me, by the way, that we're comparing Tampa and Maranello as places.
I didn't make that.
I am. I'm going to go ahead. I'm gonna take it there, you know, both fine places.
Yeah.
But I think it is a very easy fit to say that we're going to take Newey to Ferrari, right?
And I think as well, Newey wouldn't have to move realistically to Ferrari in the same way he may have had to do 20 years ago if he was becoming. Because I think what you're going to get if you're signing Newey, whether you're Aston, whether you're Ferrari, is you're going to get, similar to what Red Bull have had, Newey for 150 days of the year. He's going to be in and out. You're probably going to have to keep him motivated with other projects. He might fly in at times, fly out again. But if you're Ferrari, you're like, yeah, we'll take that. That's better than not having Newey, right?
And the other thing about signing Newey is that you take him away from all your competitors. Yep. So, I mean, that's another big thing here is that Ferrari will want to have him because if Aston get hold of him, they're going to start to worry about that. They've got the Honda engines from 26-2. So, I think every team is just going to want to get hold of him in some kind of way. And the biggest lure has to be Ferrari. I mean, there's the mythical side to it. Also, if he is interested in doing another road car, I know he wasn't 100% happy with how the Valkyrie turned out, the Aston Martin Valkyrie. So if he wants to do another road car, I mean, can you imagine the Ferrari Newey? I mean, it doesn't quite sound right, but
I might start saving up now for that.
Yeah. Adriano, I don't know, like the Ferrari, I don't know. There's got to be something that he can...
Newey, but you change the EY to it.
I mean, it would be the most desirable new car on the planet.
Yeah.
Adrian Newey designed Ferrari, imagine that.
Yeah. There is something really amazing to Ferrari retirement gig. Like, that is an amazing series of words. There's only one thing where I could, like, pitch you on the notion that maybe he would go to Aston or maybe a third place we're not thinking, which is this. If you've read his book, if you've read his life story, he does have a soft spot for the upstart. He does kind of enjoy being the one who says, I can make that happen. Yeah. Now, there's an element of, can I make Ferrari come back? On the short timeline, I agree, it makes a lot of sense. But don't rule out a small marginal percentage of, I'll go here just to prove everyone wrong.
And I think it's really important to state that it's Hamilton or it's Alonso. I think those two are huge cogs in that. And I actually agree with Spencer. I think everyone's writing off Aston. And I think that this were, if he picked Aston, immediately you've got to say, you know, Lawrence Stroll has always said, I want to turn this team into a championship winning outfit. Newey goes there. You have to say, they've got Honda engines coming as well, and Newey's worked with Honda very closely recently as well. So I think actually they have to be considered quite seriously. If he can go there, immediately you say, right, well, Aston Martin are dead serious about doing this. And I think either way, he's going to be happy because he gets
are
the designer
they, though,
car.
If they keep their same driver line?
Well, this is it. Do you then use, like, if I was Nui, I'd be like, I will come because I really want to work with Alonso. Not so keen to work with the other guy. Maybe we can sort that out. Maybe you just go and get Lewis in 2027. Maybe just say, hey, Ferrari, tear that up. We want to make a super team. But I still think Ferrari head and heart says, but I think Aston, I think that we've got to take that bid very seriously because Lawrence Stroll's a very, very ambitious guy and has clearly enticed a lot of very, very, you know, impressive and accomplished people in Formula One into that project. And yeah, I think he'll be in the mix, definitely.
We'll be interested, obviously. We'll be waiting desperately, patiently, anxiously.
We might be waiting
out
a while if he has to.
I think so. I mean, there's no timeline here, right? He can take his time.
There's no rush, I guess. I mean, like said, he will work at Red Bull until the end of 2025, be slowly phased out of, or quite quickly phased out of, some of the conversations about cars going forward, continues to work on the RB17. So he's got time and, you know, so little pressure. It's up to him, isn't it? And he will basically write his own job specification for wherever he goes.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I'd like to bring up Ferrari just for a moment because we've been having a considerable conversation about them. They have a new livery for the Miami Grand Prix this weekend.
Sucks.
Whoa. You just heard our producer in from the back.
Our enraged producer,
very
Dave.
Upset. Allegedly, blue was going to be a dominant color. A primary color? What would we say?
Well,
it was spun that we were going to see a lot of blue?
We went back through the Ferrari press release and they didn't actually say that.
But they didn't say it wasn't either, right?
But so they didn't kept say it open. Wasn't. They kept but then a little bit of like knowledge of the history of Ferrari's special liveries. I mean, do you remember when we were going to have a yellow Ferrari in Monza? Never happened. Yeah. It was a few little yellow bits which are now on the car all the time. So I think like it's absolutely expectations versus, you know, what comes out in reality. And a lot of people had their hearts set on an all blue Ferrari, which would hark back to the 1964 car that John Surtees won the championship in when they came here as NART rather than Ferrari because they fell out with the Italian government over the color red. I can't remember exactly the story, but something along those lines. Anyway, so people thought, well, they're going to do it. They're actually going to do it. And they teased enough on social media that suggested it was going to be very blue. And then there was. But I would like to say, the one thing we don't need in F1 right now is another blue car. We have like five of them on the grid. Mm-hmm. Williams, yeah. RB. Yeah, RB is going to change this weekend. But, you know, there's so many blue cars. Alpine as well, Red Bull.
I think it's a great example, isn't it? And we saw this with Alpine at the start of the year when they said, we're going to have a pink livery again. And it was like flashes of pink. You've got to be. And Lawrence made this point at lunch, so I'm again stealing something Lawrence said earlier. But the social engagement Ferrari will have had over this will be huge. And it's kind of win-win for them, right? If you hype, and then you really let fans down, you're still driving conversations on social media. Probably more so than if it was great. And
angry
like,
conversations.
Great.
And no one is cancelling their order on a Ferrari over this.
No, I don't think.
Exactly. I mean, if you are, then someone's going to pick it up. Podcast? Because I want to interview you.
And I guarantee you as well, I guarantee you Ferrari will sell a truckload of those blue caps that they're going to wear this weekend because they do look great. So they've done the smart thing. They've changed all the sellable stuff to blue and they've made the thing that you just look at for 50 whatever laps of a race and just made it look a bit naff. You know, and actually the stuff that fans are going to go absolutely crazy for is the stuff they can buy down at merch stands. So from that point of view, you know, if you get away from the bubble of social media, I think it's actually been a pretty smart play.
I'd like to say I actually liked it. I thought it was a pretty car. Oh my God, I'm getting a death stare.
I love the wheel caps. I think the HP logo, I just don't think that belongs anywhere.
I think that's there for good. Now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that doesn't belong on Ferrari. It's like
Photoshop for good or.
Well, yeah. If you look very closely at one of the Instagram posts, Carlos Sainz's finger was slightly covering his HP logo. And they kind of ghosted it out. So if you look really closely, it's like you can see the finger, but you can also absolutely see the edge of the HP logo underneath.
His index finger looks like it's sheer. You can see through it.
It's odd.
They said I saw a social media post that Kate Middleton's on their social team doing their photoshops. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't think they went far enough on it, by the way. This is Miami. Miami, it's got to be like just nuclear blue because nothing about this race should be subtle. Nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. So that brings me. I'm curious to see what VCARB does. Because they're unveiling a new livery as well, special livery for the Miami Grand Prix. And so do they go all in or do they do what Ferrari did? But they haven't really teased a whole lot.
Well, they've been quite smart, I think, because I think what they're going to do is under-promise and over-deliver based on things I've heard.
It's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Ferrari probably did the other way around. And this is actually quite interesting with VCARB and Visa Cash App. One of the things when they came into Formula One, they said, we want to kind of continue to do what the Red Bull kind of ethos has been of doing things differently, standing out. So it'll actually be kind of a nice way of seeing how much they've allowed themselves. Because at the moment, it's very much a big billboard for their brands and for Hugo, etc. It'll be interesting to see how much they've allowed themselves to move away from that. I'm excited to see that one, actually. I think it'll look good.
Some other news that I just wanted to hit because it's made headlines and I found it quite interesting. The U.S. Congress is sounding off on Formula One, if you could believe that. Michigan Representative John James, the quote was, said F1 has acted in a cartel-like manner, which is a pretty bold statement to make. Obviously, being a Michigan representative, he has sided with Mario Andretti in terms of his bid being denied and not being entered into the Formula One grid. So 12, I guess, members of the U.S. Congress have sent a letter to Formula One owner Liberty Media, just saying that they have concerns with the apparent anti-competitive actions that could prevent two American companies, Andretti Global and General Motors, from producing and competing in F1. What do you make of the bold statements? And will this move the needle at all for Liberty Media and other team principals to be more open-minded about welcoming Andretti to the grid?
Well, one thing we know about Formula One teams is they don't like being called greedy or anything like that because Andretti made
compared to a cartel.
Yeah, and Andretti made that mistake, and I think it really set him back. Now, he's not, obviously, Andretti hasn't specifically said this, but the fact they've aligned themselves with this, I don't think it's going to help them down the line. And honestly, I think they wanted a response from F1 by May the 3rd, which is Friday, I believe, or Saturday. Either way, I expect this is something we'll hear a fairly quick response from Stefano Domenicali this weekend at least. And I don't know what the jurisdiction the Congress is going to have, obviously, over F1. I think they're going to get a pretty straight answer from F1, which is we didn't think that they were ready to enter. The Cadillac side of things is like, well, if you want to come in with an engine, like I think Formula One laid out their reasons. Whether you agree with the reasons or not is a different point, but they've already kind of laid out their reasons. And what the Congress is asking for is like, well, why did you reject this? And Formula One will be like, well, we explained it. And apparently a lot of work went into cultivating that decision that F1 put out because they wanted to make sure it covered every base they had. So I think it's a great news story, Congress getting involved with F1. I don't think it's going to move the needle that much. If anything, all you're going to do is strengthen them together a bit more.
That's interesting. Congress is fascinated with monopoly power and cartels.
I didn't know American politics enough to make
No, it's the first time that's ever happened. It'd be interesting if they applied the same scrutiny to the National Football League, Major League Baseball, or college athletics for that matter. Yeah, I'm sure it's genuine and that like a couple of sweet tickets wouldn't make this go away in a flash. Yeah, they need to get jobs. What they need
we're
to get.
We're all making political statements. Lawrence is going to make one, Katie, and then we're done.
Well, I think it does. It actually is a very political issue, isn't it? Because they've made a statement completely ignoring like everything that F1 had said. So it's so indicative of politics at the moment, where one side makes an argument without taking in any of the nuance of the situation or the argument of the other side, and they just try and steamroll their way in. And no doubt, F1 will come back with a response along those lines, or just not respond at all. But yeah, I mean, it's just politics, isn't it? And I think you're right, Nate. Though this is, if Andretti wants to come in with GM, this is probably not the way to go about it. You know, I started to get the impression that things were thawing a little bit. The 2028 door was absolutely open again. If GM and Cadillac can put together this engine. And so much of this Congress letter was about, well, you're stopping, you know, great GM, you know, the great American brand GM coming into Formula One. It's like, well, no, actually, that door is still open, but they have to produce an engine. If Andretti were in F1 either next year or in 2026, they would have a French engine in the back of their car. So, you know, I think bits of it don't stack up. It's obviously clearly ignoring certain parts of the argument. And yeah, I don't think it's going to get anyone anywhere fast. But as you said, Nate, I mean, big story to splash across the front of a few websites and newspapers.
Yeah, good vote winner for the
I'm telling you, 15 sweet tickets would take care of this. Just 15 free tickets.
Just 15? Just for those Congress?
Maybe 30 for the plus one.
Yeah. I was going to say. Yeah.
On that note, we've hit the stories of the day. Never a dull moment in this sport. We are going to come back on Thursday to give you a Miami preview to break down all things sprint weekend, the circuit, and where teams stand. And the new big three, it seems, that we've got working in the sport. And Mercedes is not included in that. Thanks so much for listening and watching Unlapped. Remember, we've got a pre-race show from 3 to 4 Eastern on ESPN app and on YouTube. And then we're breaking everything down post-Miami Grand Prix on those same two platforms. Cheers.